Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're here. We're live. We're doing it. May 18th, 2016. We're back. It's us. It's season five. You're here. And that's the best part about it. God did it, okay? This is the Eric Terrell Show with special co-host Asia Downey.
What's up?
My big sister. What is going on? So we've got why many black businesses fail. Why do so many black businesses fail? We'll also touch on the importance of that question. That's what we're doing today. Why should you be, if you are young and African-American or old and African-American, why should you be a black consumer or a black entrepreneur? Why is it important? Why do black businesses fail? Now, listen here, okay? A couple quick things I want to get to. I'm already hyped about Summer Love. We're a month and 2 weeks removed or prior to, rather, in front of the Summer Love series, as well as Girl Power. I'm squeezing in a little series before Summer Love called Girl Power. We're talking about gender equality. That's going to be good. Woman in politics, woman in business, and woman in some other thing. Woman and ecclesiastical discrimination. There you go. Woman, that's a big word for churches, women and church discrimination against women, as well as Rhode Island is the third thing that I want to say. I'm going to be in Rhode Island this weekend at the Comedy Connection. I don't know anybody in Rhode Island. Odds are nobody listening to me is from Rhode Island or knows anyone in Rhode Island. But if you do, tell them to come see a brother. Listen here. To me, right now, listen close. I've started the first few episodes, the first month and a half of episodes, I believe, with a number. Now, today, the number that I'm giving you is seven. Seven. African Americans make up more than 13% of the U.S. population, a percentage that's vastly growing. Okay, we are populating this country because we know how to populate. But that population is starving economically. Why? Because, granted, although we are increasing in number, we're struggling monetarily because despite the fact that we are a growing 13% of the U.S. population, we own 7% of the businesses. That's why I said the number seven. There it goes. 7% of businesses are owned by us. Now, Uncle Ben from Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility. We all know that those words. We all know that line. We all love that line. That's probably some of the truest words ever spoken. With great power comes great responsibility. Now, we have power. Everybody has power. Some of the most important power that we have is in our buying power. Okay, now African Americans spend the most money. We have the most effective buying power. No one spends more money than we spend. Where do we spend that money? Asia, listen here, okay? Why do black businesses fail? Black businesses fail because black people let them fail. All right? Now, I've learned, and it's funny, I just learned this today. I wasn't looking that hard. I wasn't doing a bunch of research. I was looking at TED Talks, and I learned from my homie Maggie Anderson that the Asian dollar stays in the Asian community, in Asian retailers and banks and all kinds of businesses and families and households. It stays in the Asian community after it's spent for at least 28 days, about a month. Asian people are doing this money thing. I promise you they're doing it. Jewish people's dollar stays in the Jewish community for 19 days. White people, their dollar stays in their community
forever.
For 18 years. No, not it's 17 days. 17 days the white dollar stays in the white community, and the African-American dollar, Asia, take a wild guess how long it stays in our community.
4 days.
6 hours.
Wow.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. If it was a joke, it just became unfunny. Our dollar stays in our community for 6 hours. Now, this is a statistic that I'm about to make up. This is an opinion. I believe that about 80% of people can only be what they see. Now, I said 80 instead of 100 because there are some outliers. There are some people who know how to be something that they've never seen, like a Barack Obama. But 80% of people only know how to be something that they've seen. Now, we have the most children in our communities growing up without seeing business owners. So how are they going to even think or even want to become a business owner? They're just going to keep feeding other people's communities. 6 hours. Now, I'm gonna say a few more things. I promise. I'm getting out of the way. Our special guest is from Soul Delicious. Soul Delicious, very good catering company, black business. And I want to say this. I want to say this real quick. I want to say that, like I said before, our businesses fail because we let them fail. We feed other people's communities. And listen here. You know that the hair products, Asia, they got these hair products, Jam and Smooth and Shine and Dark and Natural. All these products with black people's faces on the front of them are being bought by black people. And L'Oreal, the hair product. L'Oreal is a woman, is a natural person. These hair products are owned by a woman whose name is actually the name of the product. L'Oreal is an old white woman in France. Now, I respect this woman. I've got nothing against her. But if I did have something against her, it would be this. It would be that she has no supplier diversity. Okay, L'Oreal does not do business with black firms. All of her products are being bought by black people. Another product is Hennessy. Hennessy, we love Hennessy. Black people buy the hell out of some Hennessy. I like Hennessy. Now, Hennessy is white-owned. 60 to 80% of Hennessy's global revenue is from African Americans. Now, Hennessy, just like L'Oreal, does not do business with black people. This means that they're taking black people's money and they're not feeding the money back into the black community, which means that they're taking the money and giving none back, which is why the black community has no money. They give it to L'Oreal. They give it to Hennessy. Hennessy has no black distributors, no black suppliers, and Hennessy doesn't do business with black-owned media or advertising agencies. Now, if you have Now, if you feed $0 into the black community, you don't have any black distributors, suppliers, or media outlets that you do business with. You can't tell me that's on purpose. I mean, that's by mistake. You can't tell me that's by mistake, which is kind of sad. It's kind of sad, but I'm not saying that it is on purpose. I'm just saying it's hard to believe that it's not on purpose. But whether it's on purpose or not, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that we need some Hennessy's and we need some L'Oreal's of our own. Now, Asia, what do you think? I'm done talking for the rest of the show. I give up.
For the rest? Well, I will point in that one of the things that I was going to say from the get-go is another reason that black businesses fail. Because for one, when we do have people buying into those black businesses, your homie always wants a discount. They always want a dollar off. They always want, hey, I'm your homie, hook me up type thing. We got to stop doing that. If you want these businesses to thrive, you're going to have to pay what everybody else got to pay. And you got to be willing to support. Because we're not going to get anywhere. You give Tony a dollar off, and you give Shaquita a dollar off. It's not going to be profitable. It's not.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To all my black people listening, stop asking for a discount, okay? Pay your sisters, pay your brothers, so we can thrive.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Another reason before I bring on our very special guest from Triumph Baptist Church. Oh yeah, Victory and Triumph Baptist Church. I'm gonna say this. Another reason that I do believe black businesses fail. The discount thing is definitely a factor. Definitely a factor. We all. I mean, everybody's trying to make a dollar. Okay, so if you're gonna give me a dollar, give me your whole dollar. Don't give me 50 cents. I mean. Because the person who ain't going to give you a discount is going to make you pay more money. So, I mean, black businesses don't ask for a whole lot. Just come and get this so delicious and just go on about your way. I ain't giving you no discount. But that's a good point. But I also found out, Asia, in just this past week, where the most black businesses are, the highest ratio of black-owned businesses are in Washington, D.C., where 28% of all businesses are black-owned. In Washington, D.C., 28%, almost 3 out of 10 businesses in D.C. are black-owned. Way to go, Washington, D.C. The second highest ratio of black-owned businesses is in the state of Georgia, where 20% of all businesses there are black-owned. And number three, although the ratio is about 10.6%, the state of New York actually has the most black-owned firms. So they have more black-owned businesses than D.C., and Atlanta, but it's only 10.6%, which is still the third highest percent of black-owned businesses. Now, the reason I say that, the reason that those numbers are important is because where do people go when they come to America from overseas? Tourists. Tourists come to, well, maybe not Georgia. Georgia's in there. Way to go, Georgia, Atlanta, and wherever else in Georgia these black-owned businesses are. But you've got D.C. and you've got New York. These are where tourists go. Tourists go to black-owned businesses, I believe. Now, this is just a theory. But I think that the reason that they are two of the most successful places for black businesses is because people go there that aren't caught up in the commercial American society. They look at a business as a business. They don't want Chipotle. They can go to the mom-and-pop black store. because these people don't know what's hot and what's not. And what I mean by that is that people who live in America, people who are not tourists, people who are American residents, are always caught up in the commercialism of our society. They're caught up in what looks good. They're caught up in what's on the TV commercials. They don't want to go to the black-owned businesses because they'd rather have Chipotle. They'd rather have KFC, where you can get good fried chicken and give your black dollar to the white man. I mean, I've got nothing against white-owned businesses, but you know, that's just a theory I have, Asia. I don't know if it's good. But I'm done talking for the rest of the show. I give up.
Give up. Back.
Yeah, I know. Because I go on these rants, and I'm wondering if anybody's hearing me. But anyway, I'm really gonna sit back now because I want to talk to someone. I want to talk to my special guest. I've waited entirely too long with my ranting to bring her on the air. We've got Miss Bree Wise, and I've been talking to her for the past 2 weeks, and she's a very cool person. I'm very happy to have her. Like I said, from Triumph Baptist Church, which has a populace or a congregation of people that I belong to, of course. I'm a member, and I love my church family. And if there's anybody I want to support, I said I want to support someone from Triumph Baptist Church, and I found So Delicious, and I found Bree Wise. So Delicious was started in 2010, so it's been running for 6 years. That would make it quite some time, and it's not in New York, it's not in D.C., it's in Philadelphia, and Bree Wise is here. What's going on, Ms. Bree Wise?
Hi, how are you?
Good,
thank you for
good.
Having me.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I could have brought in like some finance experts and some people who follow the economy and follow money, but for a show about black businesses, I wanted to bring in a black business person. I wanted to bring in someone who lives with the obstacles that a black business person has to face. Now we could introduce you. We could bust it up. We could talk about Triumph, but I've dilly dallied for long enough. And what I want to know first of all is that I assuming that you heard our entire opening, Ms. Bree Wise, how bad do you believe the need is for African American entrepreneurs like yourself? Is there a truth about this thing that most of us don't see?
Oh, totally. I feel that there is a dying culture that we have going on in the African-American culture. When we, you know, in our generation that we're in now, we're just starting to thrive a little bit better, where most of the children and, you know, our grandparents didn't go to college, but maybe their children went to college, which would be our parents. And now, you know, we're in college and our next generation will be in college. But what are they doing with that information? Are they going to go work for someone else, or are they going to build, you know, entrepreneurship? And to me, you know, the problem is, where do we need some type of role model. Where's the role model? You know, if you look at the other cultures, you'll see that there are role models set up. There are business startups for Latinos. They have companies they can go to where they get startup funds and they can begin their business with a push and a mentor. In the black community, we do not have that. And when we go to the other companies to get it, we get turned away because it's not our support system. It's made for other nationalities. So
right.
I totally
right.
believe that it's important to have something now before it's too late.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, most definitely. Now you love what you do at So Delicious. Am I right? Six years running and So Delicious. How good is So Delicious? Not the food. The food we could be forever. Asia and I, the two of the most greedy people you ever meet. But
right,
but how?
Okay.
But how good is the business? How blessed is the responsibility and the opportunity that you have? Is it everything it's cracked up to be, this entrepreneurship thing?
Well, what I've learned through bumps and bruises. It's a partnership, so I have a person that is my partner. And what we have done is really rely on each other and lean on each other. And, I mean, you have to have a personal love for what you do. And for me, you know, that's my passion. You have to find what you really love in the world. And then that's the number one thing for, you know, starting any kind of business. So finding that love and then having someone that has a kindred spirit with you or, you know, someone that has a thought process similar to yours is helpful. But if you do it on your own, you know, you just have to find like-minded people. What I find about being, you know, trying to be successful, because it's a ladder that I'm climbing, is that when you start to, you know, go backwards, you have to fight even harder to go forward. So when we first started the business, we had a restaurant, and this can go with the whole theme of what you're talking about today. The building was owned by an African-American person, and we were doing great. We had the line out the door, just working from the second we would open our eyes to the second we would pass out at night. And it was an amazing, euphoric feeling that we had. But
yeah,
a guy sold the building without telling us that he was selling it. So we lost our footing. And what ended up happening was that Triumph Baptist Church, which was very, you know, open, they opened their arms to us and they allowed us to come in and work with, you know, our family there. And we continued on and they encouraged us. And you know, having those people that are loving and caring and mentoring, it has been helpful to help us to keep going on. But having some type of source of a mentor or something is so important. And if we can mentor someone else, like for me, I help people now to start up businesses because I know that I know what to do.
Right.
But, you know, you have to have a vision. You have to have a business plan. You have to have an idea of what you're interested in and then go from there.
Yeah, yeah. Find the love. Yeah, because the work ethic is easy. Waking up is easy. You know, getting to work is easy. Yeah. And I feel like you'll never truly be happy until you do get out there and do it too, because you got to know. I mean, if it was meant to be, if it was not meant to be, put it that way, if it's not meant to be, then at least you then know that it wasn't meant to be. But living not knowing whether it was meant to be or not is a heavy load. Now, we're going to talk more about So Delicious in a second, because I want some So Delicious, and I don't know if Asia, maybe I'll mail you some. I don't, but maybe some of my listeners as well want some So Delicious. We gonna get some So Delicious, but for a second, let's talk about these black businesses. Blacks aren't a huge minority, but people say it's a white man's world and a white man's country, because not only do white people control the government, but they control everything that we consume. Now, a big indicator of this is the fact that when you look at white-owned companies and businesses, you have more mainstream companies and you have a bigger variety of companies. But sometimes, I mean, as great as So Delicious is, there's other places that you guys have to compete with that are also black-owned. You know, you have your barbershops and your churches and your laundromats. You have your laundry services is one of the top black-owned places, consulting services and auto dealerships and all these types of businesses that black people open up. There's no variety. Now, do you think that's a problem? And if so, how do we rectify it?
I feel like there's enough business out there for everyone. I think there's so many people in the world, and there's so many creative people in the world that, you know, even my closest competitor, which, you know, is someone that has a similar business to what I have going on with doing the catering, it never affected what I did, because when the customers come to me and they say, oh, this company also makes similar turkey wings, or my macaroni tastes just like this macaroni, you know, those things are actually great compliments to me. So finding other companies that are similar, my goal is to try to learn from them. And any time that I, you know, have an experience or an opportunity with, you know, to speak to another person that owns a business that's similar, or even just to hear that an African-American owns a business, I will support them. So just knowing that, you know, there is so much opportunity, there's no way in the world that I wouldn't be, you know, more supportive to try to help and to try to encourage. I think that a lot of time as, you know, as people, not just African Americans, we have, you know, sometimes you, like in our, I'm just going to say in our financial status, we may not have enough. You know, you think all the time you don't have enough. You always feel like you need more. You have to hold on to what you have. And if you do have that type of feeling, it's hard to ever get more if you're stingy and you hold on to what you have. So, you know, learning from other companies, looking and reaching out and being encouraged by other people is so important in order to grow. And to not, and then also you want to look at people at different financial statuses, because, you know, sticking with someone that's just in a startup business, you know, for the last 5 years like I had been, it doesn't help me to move forward. I need to look and make my horizons, you know, bigger and speak to people who have done it already.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh.
Looking at other companies that, you know, have been successful is the key. Finding companies that, you know, maybe, you know, large name brand places like Popeyes. Okay, what I decided was, I'm going to study colors. So I looked at different colors that were food colors, and I mimicked that. So those colors would be yellow, orange, burgundy. If you go to McDonald's or you go to KFC or you go to Popeyes, you're going to see those colors. And those colors are warm colors, and those are eating colors. So I learned from that. You know what I'm saying? So you use your resources as a stepping stone. And mimic it. You don't have to recreate the wheel. Or the
that's so real. I mean, I always say how much I like to listen to comedians like Jerry Seinfeld and Louis C.K. and Chris Rock, comedians that I look up to. And when I say listen to them, not just listen to their comedy, but listen to the interviews that they do. And listen to them talk about business and just pick their brain. I mean, you, like you said, learning from people who have done it is key. And like you said, you don't have to recreate the brand. I mean, because there is no other So Delicious. There won't be another So Delicious. So anything that you mimic from them would help So Delicious, right? It wouldn't make you KFC. You know, it's helping your style. It's helping your brand. Aza, did you have anything real quick? Or not real quick?
Can you like UPS something from your store? Like, I'm kind of far. I work for Metro DC.
Oh, you're in DC.
No, she's no. Aza's Chicago. Yeah.
So I'm in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Well, I'm on the way.
Next time you come here, you got it.
Next time I'm on the East Coast, I'll stop and get some.
Definitely.
But no, I just want to, you know, commend you for being black business professional, and I'll support. Like I said, I'll come over there. I'll buy some. I'll give you the dollar, the black dollar. Keep it there for more than 6 hours. And I hope your business just thrives. It's just excellent. I love it.
I want to say thank you to our live listeners. If the website is cutting you off, sometimes our live listeners have to leave us at 7 o'clock. Asia's gonna give you the black dollar. 6 hours, Bree. Did you hear me say that? Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah, that is real. I believe it. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's hard to hold money in your pocket for more than 6 hours? So
wow.
You can imagine how many stores you walk by or how many, you know, places you just go drop your dollar. And if you consciously think about where you're spending your dollar, maybe you would hold it in your pocket longer until you got to an African-American business.
Wow. Oh, that's
more.
Yeah.
That's so real. Now, all right, so first of all, before I do that, so delicious. So delicious. Website, location. Help us support So Delicious, and then I'm going to ask you a very, very important question that everyone's going to want to hear the answer to. So how can we support So Delicious?
Oh, thank you. So our website is extremely long, but I'll give you my phone number, and you can either text or you can send an email. I'll give you the website too, but the cell phone number or the business phone number, they all go to one line. It's 267-521-BITE, B-I-T-E, or 2483. So it's 267-521-2483.
Gotcha. Or 267-521-BITE.
BITE, yes.
Right.
And also the website is soldeliciousplatters.webs.com.
Lord Jesus.
So
delicious platters in. Where's the N? What's the N come from?
Yeah. So instead of and, I did N.
Oh, okay. But gotcha. So
platters in catering. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Okay, yeah.
I'm working on it. Sometimes you get so busy that you just don't have time to change, you know, what you got going on. But I'm working on it. So it's that ladder
you.
That I'm climbing.
That ladder that you're climbing to a shorter website.
Yeah, so the email address is soldelicious@live.com. And I'm sure
delicious.
That's much easier.
Cool. At live.com. Yep, we got you. Cool. Now, leading us off the air, okay, show's over. We're getting out of here, and we really, really thank you, Ms. Bree Wise, as well as Sonia. Sonia, right? Her name is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sonia, your partner, who I also spoke with
on
the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Best chef in the world.
Oh, my. Ooh, Asia, I feel sorry for you. I thank the two of you, as well as the people at Triumph Baptist Church who helped to hook us up. Now, I want you to tell Bree Wise of 6 years ago exactly how to get through what she needs to get through to be Bree Wise today. I want you to, for a second, talk about what obstacles you faced. What obstacles do you think black businesses face that other businesses do not face? Why so many black businesses fail, if there's reasons that you haven't stated already? I know you already gave us good content, as well as your biggest advice for young entrepreneurs like the aforementioned young Bree Wise.
Okay. So the first advice that I would give Bree and anyone that's looking to start up a business is never to start something without fully understanding what you're getting into. Definitely do your homework. When I started the business, I immediately chose to get educated on it. I did my phone calls. I called and found out what exactly it would take for me to start the business, how much money I would need. When we started, we had an income. We both had our own careers, and we never used our career money for the business. The business should drive on what you make. Always save. What African Americans are notorious for is spending, right? So if you're saving, you need to save a portion of it. You know, number one and foremost before anything is pray your way through everything. What I did was I made a cross on a piece of paper, and on each corner of the cross, I would put where the money was going. So the first thing, and I broke it down into four parts. Of course, you know, my first amount was going back into God, like into my religion. Whatever I made, I figured that I would put back into everything that I, where I got it from, right? It went back into the church, or it went back into my bank account, or it went back into my heart. Like, it went back to where it was supposed to go. That was the first thing. The second one was to pay myself. I had to pay myself so I wouldn't steal for myself. The other part was for my groceries, whatever, you know, I needed to spend to cover the price of the product. And then the last one for employees. If I couldn't hire people, I couldn't do the job. So those four things were very critical for me. And, you know, everybody else, it'll be different. But those were the things that I had to choose to do in order, because with this business, it is not a high expense type of business. But when you're in food service, you don't make a ton of money right away. You have to continue to save and put the money away and keep. And as African Americans, we love to cook and we love to eat. So we can't eat our product. And if you ever listen to Biggie Smalls, he said, what was his statement? Never get high on your own supply. So don't eat
that's
food.
It. Look at you.
You can't eat it because you'll gain 50 pounds eating soul food. It should be a treat. And that's just, you know, at the end of the day, you have to take care of all those things first and get your education. You have to be educated. If you're going to go into this field, you have to know about sanitation. You have to know how to, you know, become correct. You can't sell food and not know how to handle food.
Mm.
So there's a lot. There's a lot of advice that I could give young Bree and anybody else that's interested. But my, you know, one of my most important things was to go and get educated. I went to a small business startup school. I went to two. I went to Temple, and I went to one named Fananta. Temple gave me the help that I needed to have a business plan. And Fananta showed me how to move forward with going to the city and getting a license, and then going on the internet and going to the IRS, and then going to the insurance company to make sure that I was covered. And also going to different events. You have to be networking. You have to network, period. You have to speak to people that have like minds. They have to do what you're doing. Surround yourself with the same type of thing over and over and over again. And it'll just be a natural thing for you.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't
go
to work. It's not a job. It's 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. Stay committed. 24 hours. That's it.
Yeah.
She gave it to you. Oh, man, that last response was rife with everything that you need to know. All of the young entrepreneurs, network, get educated. Don't get high on your own supply. Oh, I mean, phenomenal advice. I want to thank Bree Wells. I want to thank Sonia. I want to thank So Delicious. I want to thank Miss Asia Downing. I want to thank you, my fans, my listeners. I love you all, and we love one another, and that is the most important thing, is that we love. Love is all that we need to hold on to. Loving yourself, loving other people, loving the truth, and loving love. It's not hard to love love, because all you have to do is love God, because God is love, and God God did it.
God did it.
God did it, baby. Oh, yeah. Listen here. Next week, we're getting into our Girl Power series. Is America ready for a female president? That's next week.
Nope.
Angie going, UPS, that's so delicious. They not. They ain't ready. Oh. We'll see. We'll see. I tell you who ain't, Donald Trump. But next week, let's have fun.
Thank you so much.